Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place, Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place, celebration, Gaur Purnima Mahamahotsav Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Guru.
So, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj ended his speech with a prayer to the Vaishnavas that they bless him. Actually, the blessings of the Vaishnavas is the most important thing for any spiritual success. So at the beginning of my speech, I beg to all of you, all the assembled Vaishnavas, that you bless me, that I can somehow glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Giriraj Maharaj, in his class, in his lecture, mentioned how the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and how he appeared in order to deliver the sinful material nature in this age of Kali, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivers the living entities, especially his devotees, by residing in the hearts of the devotees. When one accepts devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appears there and makes him come back to his lotus feet, removing all the impediments on the path of his devotional service. And Jayapataka Maharaj very eloquently mentioned how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance undoubtedly is very auspicious, but in an auspicious day like this, when we hear advanced devotee like Jayapataka Maharaj, who is always absorbed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, glorify and describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, it becomes like pure nectar flowing from the spiritual sky. So I will try to say a few pastimes. I'll try to narrate a few pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to establish him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, to say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not enough. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the perfect combination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Supreme Energy. The energetic and energy has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha and Krishna has appeared together as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Giriraj Maharaj also in his lecture mentioned that how sugar and milk became together and became Rasgulla. So, in the beginning I'll recite one small narration of Vasudev Ghosh. Vasudev Ghosh was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was a great musician and a great composer. So he is describing one pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes in a song, but I'll just recite that song.
किए हम पे खलो कनका पुतलिया किए हम पे खलो कनका पुतलिया शोचिरो यांगिनाय नाचे ধুলি ধূসারিয়া চৌদিকে দিগম্বর বালক বেরিয়া তার মাঝে গোড়ান আছে হরি হরি বলিয়া রাতুল কমল পদে ধায় দিন মনিয়া জননী সুনয়ে ভালো নুপুর সুধনিয়া বাসুদেব পশু কহে শিশু রস জানিয়া ধন্য নদিয়ার লো নবদীপ ধনিয়া কে হামাকে খালো কনকা পুতালিয়া
The translation is, what a beautiful sight did I see today. I saw a golden puppet, smeared in dust, was dancing in the courtyard of Mother Sachi. A group of naked boys was surrounding him, and in their midst he was dancing, saying, Hari, Hari. It appeared as if the brilliant sun was moving about on his beautiful lotus red feet. His mother was enchanted to hear the beautiful tinkling sound of his ankle bell. Vasudev Ghosh announces hereby that all the residents of Navadvip are glorified, and the land of Navadvip is also glorified because they got to know this special little child. And this special little child is the son of Mother Sachi, who has appeared to deliver this word by offering the most elevated and most brilliant of all the mellows, that is, the loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal mellow to the suffering conditioned souls in this degraded age of Kali. Honor Pita Charin Chirat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even he himself did not give something for a long, long time. And in order to distribute that, this personality has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he appeared as an ordinary Brahmin boy in Navadvip. Jayaparaga Maharaj mentioned that Jagannath Mishra was a poor Brahmin. He was usually in the Vedic society, the Brahmanas are poor. Not that they were poverty stricken, but they used to accept this poverty voluntarily in order to remain fixed up on the spiritual conviction, in order to maintain their attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Jagannath Mishra, the humble son of a Brahmana. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as a human being in order to attract us towards his lotus feet. And those who are fortunate, they can recognize him in spite of his human behavior and human form. But though most of the people are actually unfortunate and they cannot recognize him. Krishna himself said, Avajananti maam mudha manushim tanumashritam. But param bhavam ajanantu mamukhuta maheshwaram. Avajananti maam mudha people, those who are mudhas, those who are very stupid, very foolish, they cannot recognize him. When they see him as in his human form, and seeing him as a human in his human form, they think him also to be an ordinary human being, and unfortunately, they cannot perceive his param bhavam, his transcendental mood and his transcendental activity. Now, when Krishna came, although he came as a human being in his human form, not as a human being, but in his human form, but his activities were superhuman. His activities were divine. His activities were transcendental. And people could see how he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because an ordinary person cannot kill a demon when he is 7 days old, the way he did kill Putana. An ordinary person cannot kill a demon like Trinavartasura, Vakasura, Arthasura, just as a little child. But Krishna did. So when one becomes exposed to Krishna's pastimes, and when he has a little bit of faith in him, he can appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pastimes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were even more covered. It was even more hidden. Channa Kalo. In the age of Kali, he comes, he appears, covering his identity. And so, although Krishna came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna announced boldly, he broadcasted time and time again through his actions as well as through his words. Like in Bhagavad Gita, time and time again Krishna claimed, Krishna established himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not do that. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he came as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he played his pastimes in a most wonderful way. As a child, he was very naughty, like any ordinary human child. And although he appeared as an ordinary human child, but he was always establishing his mission, fulfilling his mission of propagating the chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, at the time of his appearance, he made the whole world chant the holy name of Krishna, because at that time it was the lunar eclipse, and at the time of lunar eclipse, at the time of eclipse, people naturally go to, especially in India, those who follow the Vedic culture, they go to Ganga and chant the holy name of the Lord. So just at the time when he appeared, he made the whole world chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a little child, he used to cry. He used to cry, and nothing could actually stop him from crying. So one day, when Mahaprabhu was crying like that, Devi Nimai was crying like that, one lady just happened to say in exclamation, "Oh Hari!" Like in India, it is a common custom that when one feels exasperated or excited, they exclaim with the name of the Lord. Like, "Oh Krishna, Oh Hari!" But as soon as she said Hari, Nimai just stopped crying. But then, soon after that, she started crying again. So the lady, just out of curiosity, again uttered the name of Hari. And so again Nimai stopped crying. So this way, they found out the best way to stop Nimai from crying is by chanting the name of Hari. So this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the pretext of crying as a baby, made the ladies around him chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna.
Riva!
Riva! So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his identity by defeating great scholars. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the greatest scholar of his time, and he established himself as the greatest scholar by defeating Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri was the most erudite scholar of India at that time. He was born in Kashmir, the northern part of India, and he traveled all over India. From north, he went to south, east, west, then he went to south, and then finally, after conquering entire India, he came to Navadvip. So in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Keshav Kashmiri came, all the scholars of Navadvip started to run away out of fear of being defeated by him and losing their faith. So Keshav Kashmiri came to Navadvip, and actually Navadvip was the only place that was left for him to conquer in order to be proclaimed as the indefeatable scholar of India, Big Vijay, a person who conquered all 10 directions. So Keshav Kashmiri came to Navadvip, the greatest scholar of India, and he came to challenge the scholars of Navadvip, and all the scholars ran away. The only person who was left behind, the only scholar who was left behind in Navadvip was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Keshav Kashmiri heard about Nimai Pandit, but when he heard he was only a 16-year-old boy, he did not really pay much importance to him and didn't bother to defeat him or get into a scholarly bout with him. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day, Keshav Kashmiri was waiting for the scholars to come back, and he was staying in Navadvip, waiting for them to come back. So one evening when he was walking on the bank of the Ganges, he saw one young boy of 15, 16 years old. He was sitting with some students and he was teaching something on the bank of the Ganges. So he became curious, so he walked up to the boy and asked him what his name was. So the boy told him that his name was Nimai and he was the son of Jagannath Mishra. So Keshav Kashmiri said, "Oh, so you are Nimai Pandit." So Mahaprabhu very humbly told him that actually some people out of affection call me Pandit, scholar, but actually I am not a scholar, I am just an ordinary person. So Keshav Kashmiri was impressed. He said, "Well, I can see that you are very humble. So anyway, so let's have a fight." So Mahaprabhu said, "Well, you are such a great scholar and I am just a young lad. So how can I get into a fight with you? Maybe I will rather receive some knowledge from you. So please instruct me with some knowledge." So saying that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him the seat and he sat down on the ground. And then Keshav Kashmiri, out of his natural pride, asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "So what do you want to hear from me?" So Mahaprabhu said, "Please glorify the Ganges, the celestial river." And so immediately Keshav Kashmiri started to recite one after another verses, and they were composed with the same speed as the movement of the Ganges. They were as rhythmic and vibrant as the movement of the Ganges, and they were as profound as the depth of the Ganges. And
So after composing and reciting 100 such verses in glorification of Mother Ganges, Keshav Kashmiri stopped. And he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "So how did you like it?" So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It's fine. Fine, excepting a few mistakes here and there. They are fine." So Keshav Kashmiri became furious. He said, "In my composition, there is no mistake. I never make a mistake." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just kept quiet. But Keshav Kashmiri could not tolerate that insult. He started to tell him, "You are just an ordinary teacher of grammar. What do you understand of poetry? So my composition never has any mistake. But they are all decorated. My compositions are always decorated with all kinds of poetic ornaments." Still Mahaprabhu was quiet. He didn't say anything. As if Keshav Kashmiri, he was trying to make it a point to Keshav Kashmiri, "Well, I mean, if you don't want to accept your mistake, then what can I do?" So Keshav Kashmiri then asked him, "Tell me what was the mistake." So then Mahaprabhu pointed out, he just quoted one verse, 65th verse, and he quoted, he pointed out five different mistakes in that. First he actually glorified, he said, "This has five ornaments and it has five doshas, five defects." So first four defects that he pointed out, they are all grammatic defects, so I don't want to get into that. But one point he made, and the fifth one he pointed out, was that in your composition, you use the expression Bhavani Bhatta. Bhavani is the name of Lord Shiva. Bhavani is the name of Parvati. Bhava is the name of Lord Shiva, and Bhavani is the name of Durga or Parvati. And Bhatta means husband. So he was actually saying, he was indicating Lord Shiva, how Lord Shiva holds the Ganges on his head. So to make that expression, he used Lord Shiva's name as Bhavani Bhatta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the name Bhavani means the wife of Bhava. And then you are saying Bhatta of the wife of Bhava, the husband of the wife of Shiva, implies that she has some other husband than Lord Shiva. So Durga, Bhavani, has some other husband than Lord Shiva. So it is a viruddhakram. So it is a conflicting expression. So in this way, he pointed out five mistakes. When Keshav Kashmiri, he had to accept his defeat, and with his head bowed down, he walked away from there. Keshav Kashmiri was the greatest scholar of India at that time, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the age of 16 defeated the greatest scholar. And in this way, he established himself as the most erudite scholar of India of that time, or he established himself as an unusual personality, and people could see he was the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Anyway, so actually Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one can keep on speaking for hours together, but already it's quite late, so I'll just stop with two other small points. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the greatest impersonalistic philosopher or Brahma Jnani of that time. He was the greatest Brahmavadi of India of that time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also, and in this way he established his position as greater than the greatest of all the scholars of India. And also, when he went to Benares, Varanasi or Kashi, he defeated the leaders of all the Mayavadi sannyasis, that is
Prakashananda Saraswati. So very humbly, in a very sublime way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated all these personalities and thus he established his position as the greatest. He may have appeared as a devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may have appeared as a devotee, but in spite of his activities, he established himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those who have their eyes, those who have their heart properly cleansed and developed some faith within their heart, those who are fortunate, they can recognize this covered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who actually is the most munificent of all his appearances, and who has come here to deliver the most degraded people of the most degraded age of all time, that is the age of Kali. And those who are fortunate, they take shelter of him and receive the most wonderful benediction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benediction, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's offering, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift can be compared to, it has been compared to an inconceivable gift that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his other incarnations did not bestow. And in a humble way, which I actually got from Diriraj Maharaj once, heard from him once before, so I will narrate and close the lecture. So he was giving the example of a king. One day the king got drunk. And when one gets drunk, then he loses his sanity. He becomes intoxicated and he loses his sense of reasoning. And then the king opened up his treasury and he started to distribute all the precious gems from his treasury. And a king can do that. He who is the owner, who is the proprietor of the kingdom, he can give out whatever he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to do in his kingdom. And he can, although to a poor man, even a few rupees may mean a lot, but the king can give him some priceless jewel, and the poor man can immediately become rich by receiving that gift from the king. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king of kings, actually became intoxicated. Intoxicated, I won't say intoxicated, I would rather say in-nectarized. He drank so much of nectar of Krishna fame that in the mood of Srimati Radharani, mad with ecstasy, that he became mad with ecstasy. And in his state of ecstasy, he started to give out the most precious gems of the spiritual sky, and that is Krishna's name. Namo Mahavadannaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namne, Gaurav Vishnu. So I offer my humble obeisances to that most munificent incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared to distribute Krishna Prema, which is rare even for Brahma, even for Lord Shiva. So that Krishna Prem is being distributed by him unto anyone and everyone, irrespective of any consideration in this age of Kali. Thank you very much. I want to make another small announcement. It's an announcement actually, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate associate, who accomplished the most wonderful mission of his propagation of Krishna consciousness, is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned about 500 years ago পৃথিবীতে আছে যত নগরাদি গ্রাম, সর্বত্র প্রচার হইবে মোর নাম। ইন এভরি টাউন এন্ড ভিলেজ অল ওভার দ্য ওয়ার্ল্ড দিস হোলি নেম অফ কৃষ্ণ উইল স্প্রেড। নাও ওয়েন চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কেম, হি অ্যাকচুয়ালি স্প্রেড কৃষ্ণ কনশিয়াসনেস অল ওভার ইন্ডিয়া, বাট হি প্রেডিক্টেড that this holy name will spread all over the world, not only throughout the world, but in every town and village. And aaj prithivite ache joto nagoradi gram, in every town and village all over the world. Now, that prediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although may have appeared to be impossible, or may have appeared to be something like a poetic exaggeration, but the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never goes in vain. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that this Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world in every town and village has happened. And the person who did it is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So a few years ago, we celebrated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary, and in a few years, we are going to celebrate the centenary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate associate, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, the GVCs have decided to organize ISKCON in such a way that we have a grand celebration of Srila Prabhupada's centennial. So today there's going to be a presentation by the Centennial Committee for different types of help from different devotees, and Loknath Maharaj will make a presentation. So please try to offer as much as you can, whatever you have.
And Aditya Acharya was there on the bank of the Ganges. He was a Brahmana. And actually Aditya Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. So when he saw the condition of this world was so bad, people became so degraded, became so sinful, that Aditya Acharya felt that unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself didn't come, there was no way this world could have been saved. So when he became so concerned about the situation of this world and wanted to bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remembered there's a verse from the scripture that says that if one offers some tulasi leaf and Ganga water to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord becomes indebted to him. So remembering that verse, Aditya Acharya started to offer Gangavari, the water of Ganges, and Tulasi Manjari, the flowers, the Tulasi buds, and in earnest prayers, he was requesting the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come back, come down to this earth. He used to call Radha Krishna to come, and his appeal was so earnest that while he was crying, he was also shouting. Like when somebody cries loudly and then says something, then it sounds very loud, doesn't it? So that's why Advaita Acharya, loud in his loud chanting, with tears in his eyes, crying, sobbing from the core of his heart, he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come. And Krishna could not deny this prayer of Advaita Acharya, and as a result of that, he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's what has been described here. The translation is here, so I can just read from it. day and night that saintly personality roars and thunders and exhibits other ecstatic symptoms, offering pleasing prayers together with other mantras for the Lord, for the Lord, not of. Correct that. For the Lord, he calls out, O Krishna, O Lord of Radhika, and smears Sri Shaligram Shila with pulp of sandalwood, musk, and other fragrant substances, and offers arati with lamps and incense. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sitadevi. Huhunkara Varjanadi Ahoratra Shadgunam Ha Krishna Radhika Natho Prarthanadi Bhavanam Dhupa Deepa Kasturicha Chandanadi Lepanam Sita Natha Dvaita Charanarvindam Bhavanam. So, in this way, Advaita Acharya was asking Krishna to come. So the next one is, O merciful Lord Shaligram, anyway, there is no mention of Shaligram in the prayer. Ganga Bari Monohari Tulashadi Manjari Krishna Gyano Shada Dhano Prema Bari Jharjhari. So he was offering Monohar, means very pleasing water of Ganges, and Tulasadi Manjari, the Tulasi buds. Actually, this translation is not quite ornamented by Tulasi, not leaves. Manjari means the Tulasi buds. So instead of leaves, you correct it as Tulasi buds. Anyway, it can be Tulasi leaves, Manjaris. He mentions about Manjaris actually. Krishna Gyano Shada Dhano Premavadi Jharjhari. Krishna Gyano Shada Dhano. He was always meditating on Krishna, and tears were streaming down his eyes. Premavadi. Premavadi means loving tears. Jharjhari, incessantly flowing. Then Krishna, Kripabdhi Koruna Natha Bhavishyati Prarthanam. That I pray the personality who is an ocean of mercy, that Sitanatha Dvaita Charanarvinda Bhavanam. I can always meditate upon, thus I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. Then, Muhur Muhu Krishna Krishna Uchchaishare Gayatam Ohe Natho Jagatrato Mamo Drishti Gocharam. Dibhuja Koruna Natha Diyatam Sudarshanam Sita Natha Daita Charanaro Bindu Bhavanam. He was loudly singing the Krishna's name constantly. Muhur Muhu means all the time, constantly. Uchchaishare means loudly. Gayatam Ohe Natho Jagatrato Mamo Drishti Gocharam. O my Lord, who is the maintainer of the entire creation, please become manifest within my eyes. Kindly award your beautiful vision within my sight. Thus I do meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you took birth from the womb of Mother Sachi in the home of Jagannath Mishra because of the prayers of Sri Advaita, and you dance in the association of Sri Advaita in your pastimes of congregational chanting. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. O Lord, give me devotional service and protect me, though I am not a deserving recipient of that protection. Let my mood be to meditate upon the knowledge of Sri Advaita's feet and to always hold tight to the heaps of his lotus foot dust. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. O all-bestowing Lord of Sita, Lord of my life, may you bestow mercy on those who meditate exclusively on your lotus feet, and may you bestow an opportunity to engage in devotional service to yourself. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya, who together with Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda comprise one merciful person with a threefold form, which is divided into various ages of adolescence and so on. And is always endowed with super excellent qualities. His roaring and thundering, etc., awaken the knowledge of devotional service and deliver the conditioned living beings from material existence. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. He bestows loving devotional service to the lowly, the destitute, blasphemous, and as well as anyway, take out that "and," put a comma there. As well as others, and bestows all necessities upon them. The Lord of Sita is the leader of the people of Santipur and frees one from attachment to the practices of karma and yoga, from bad association and passionate pleasures. Thus do I meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Advaita, the Lord of Sita Devi. So it's a beautiful song. Now, try to meditate on this song whenever you have time. Try to sing this song. Or if you can't sing as such, if the opportunity is not there, then at least you can hum the tune and the words. So Advaita Acharya, then Nityananda Prabhu. I was thinking of singing Nityananda Ashtakam, but unfortunately I couldn't. The boy who was supposed to do it, he somehow thought that I told him not to do it. Everyone was under the impression that I asked him to do it, but somehow he thought I told him not to do it. Anyway. So we are not going to sing that song tonight, but maybe some other time. And it's a Nityananda Prabhu is the main personality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been compared to a tree or the root, the state, and Nityananda Prabhu is the trunk. In the tree of Chaitanya, in the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu is the trunk. Bhaja Nityanandam, bhajana tadupandam niragati. I all constantly meditate upon the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, who is like the trunk of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, without Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, one cannot approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you receive Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, then it becomes very easy to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, our main business is to try to please Nityananda Prabhu, try to maintain our attachment to Nityananda Prabhu, and never ever isolate ourselves from Nityananda Prabhu. Hano Nitai Bine Bhai Radha Krishna Paitanam. Without such Nityananda Prabhu, one should not try to get Radha and Krishna. So, now we can sing maybe Ujjala Varana, that's simpler, and then or should we sing this one? No? This one? Okay. So we'll sing Sri Sachisutastakam. This is also by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Nava Gauravaram Nava Pushpasaram Nava Bhavodharam Nava Lasaparam
Nava Gauravaram Nava Pushpasaram Nava Bhavodharam
Nava Lasaparam Nava Hemavaram Pranamami Sachi Suta Gauravaram Nava Hema Jutam Nava Nita Sucham Nava Vesha Kritam Harinamo Param
Nava Nita Sucham Nava Vesha
Bhakti param hari naam dharam kara japya karam hari naam param
hari bhakti param hari naam dharam kara japya karam hari naam param
nayane satatam pranayashru dharam pranamami sachi sukta gauravaram Satatam janata bhavata poharam paramartha parayana lokagati Nabaleha param jagatapuharam pranamami sachi kuta gauravaram
Nabaleha param jagatapuharam pranamami sachi kuta gauravaram
Nija bhakti karam priya charu karam nata nartana nagara raja kulam Kulakamini manashalasya param pranamami sachi suta gauravaram
Kulakamini manashalasya param pranamami sachi suta gauravaram
Karata So the translation reads, His body is the hue of freshly cast pure gold. He casts arrows of newly blossoming flowers. He takes on ever newer and newer moods of ecstasy. He is absorbed in novel dances. He causes ever new mirth and merriment, and his brilliant luster is golden. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is worshipped for his complexion of new gold. His luster is like the color of fresh butter. His fresh attire is arranged in ever new fashions. He tests ever new mellows of love for Krishna. He shines in newer and newer. His loving nature is most auspicious. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. He is ever absorbed in devotion of Sri Hari. He maintains the chanting of the names of Hari and always holds them in his mind. He, while chanting Hari's names, in meditation counts the names with his hands. He is addicted to the names of Hari, and there are tears of love always in his eyes. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi, who is always removing the suffering of material existence for mankind, who is the goal of life for those persons who are dedicated to their supreme interest, who inspires materialists to accept who inspires materialists to accept new transcendental qualities and become like bees eager to lick up the honey of Krishna Katha, who removes the fever of the material world. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi, who motivates pure devotion to himself, who is most attractive to his beloved servitors, who is the king of the community of those expert in dancing with great dramatic pathos, and who makes the mind together with its associate, the lusty senses, dance. Who makes the mind together with its associate, the lusty senses, dance. So there will be a comma after lusty senses. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi, who plays kartals as his throat emits sweet melodious sounds and the notes of the veena are softly played. He thus inspires dancing imbued with qualities of his own devotional service. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi, who is worshipped by the religious practice for the age of Kali, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj come again, who is the extraordinary brilliant ornament of the earth, whose preaching mood is just suitable for this world of birth and death, whose consciousness is fixed in meditation on his form of Brajendra Nandan Krishna, and who is worshipped together with his abode, Sri Navadvip Dham. His eyes, the soles of his feet, and his clothing are all reddish like the color that heralds the rising sun. And he utters his own names, his voice falters. He awakens the sweet flavor of life throughout the universe. I bow down to Gaura, the beautiful son of Mother Sachi. So, you must remember that this was composed by Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's a beautiful composition. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became very fond of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became his life and soul. And then only one can write a poem or a prayer like this. So I'll stop now. Many of you will be catching a bus at 10:30. And today I'm also feeling very tired. Today it was a very, very hectic day for me. Okay, so those will be leaving now or tomorrow morning. Take care of yourselves. Mainly take care of your Krishna consciousness very nicely. Become very good devotees. Actually, that is the only thing, that is the only mission, that is the only objective that we have now. Now that we have become devotees of Krishna, now that we have accepted this process of Krishna consciousness, it is very important that we completely dedicate ourselves to this mission and take up this process of Krishna consciousness with heart and soul, with all our sincerity. We must remember now we have only one business. And what is that business? Ashok, what is that business?
Remember Krishna.
Only remember Krishna? Good. Remembering Krishna is good. To offer ourselves completely to Krishna. No computers. Actually, a computer can be a business to maintain your material side. But the real business is Krishna. So not only that's the business of Ashok Khanna, but it's the business of everybody. All of us have one objective, one mission, one business, and that is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And a pure devotee means who always cares about Krishna and doesn't care about himself. A pure devotee's mood is for the sake of mood is that he simply wants to serve Krishna, please Krishna, provide for Krishna's pleasure. But besides that, he doesn't have any other desire. He doesn't care for himself. Whether he is in a comfortable situation or not, that is of no consequence. He simply cares for Krishna. It is actually a very difficult thing to do, because when we are in the material platform, we are conditioned by the material nature in such a way that our identity became very closely connected to this body. And we get very much affected by the attachments and the dictations of this body. This body tells, I want this, and we immediately feel that, yes, I want this. Actually, the body says, I want this. But because the spirit soul is so attached to the body, the spirit soul immediately says, yes, yes, I want this. For example, we become hungry, like today we are fasting. I'm sure at some point or other, all of you have felt, oh, I'm so hungry. But actually, were you hungry? No, it was the body that was hungry. Isn't it? The body was hungry, but we thought, oh, we are hungry. Oh, I am starving. But I was not starving. The spirit soul doesn't need any food. The spirit soul actually is hungry or thirsty of only one thing. The spirit soul is, what is spirit soul's hunger? Or what is the spirit soul thirsting after? Yeah. The spirit soul has only one thirst, and that is thirst for Krishna. Thirst for love of Krishna. But do we remember that? We don't. But we feel, oh, I'm so thirsty. But then when you ask, what is this thirst about? So, oh, I want to drink some water. Or you say, we are so hungry. But actually, what is our hunger? Our hunger is for Krishna. But then you ask, what is your hunger for? You say, we want some food. So this is how we are actually missing the point. Yes, we are hungry and we are thirsty. Like today we got a taste, like how we feel when you don't have food or when you don't have water. It's been just a few hours, but we are dying of thirst. Right? Now can you imagine how the spirit soul is feeling? The spirit soul is really really, really hungry, really, really thirsty. And that's why the spirit soul is in such a bad shape. The spirit soul is so unhappy. Why the spirit soul is unhappy? Why the spirit Why the spirit soul is unhappy? Yeah. And what does the spirit soul need? Krishna. So our unhappiness is simply because of one factor, because we don't have Krishna. So if we get Krishna, now how many of you had a nice prasadam in the evening after the whole day's fasting? Raise your hand upwards. So it seems everyone, Tumiki, Prasad Pauni. Okay. Okay. So you had enough village food? So now you're satisfied? So that was the question I was about to ask. Now after you ate or drank, how do you feel? Are you still feeling hungry? No, now you're satisfied. So similarly, when we get Krishna, then we actually become fully satisfied and we don't have any more hunger or any more thirst. So, in ISKCON, at least theoretically we got to know that. Now we have to practically achieve that. Now we have to practically accomplish that. So practical means theoretical and practical, there's a big difference actually. Do you realize the difference between theoretical knowledge and practical realization? Prabhupada used to give the example that yes, we know theoretically we know that we are not this body. Isn't it? How many of you know theoretically that you are not your body? And you are a spirit soul. Now theoretically you know that. Now you consider today when you didn't have the food, when you didn't have the food for the whole day, prasadam for the whole day, did you really feel that you are not this body? So you are feeling so attached to the body, because the body was, body is the body who wants food, is the body who wants to drink, and is the body who wants to breathe. The spirit soul doesn't have any need to breathe, the spirit soul doesn't have any need to drink, and the spirit soul doesn't have to have any need to eat. But that shows, although theoretically we know, but practically we haven't really understood it. So we say we are not this body. But if somebody comes with a gun and points it to your head, how will you feel? You'll feel you're not this body? No idea. So that is the thing, like we have to, at least, fortunately at least we have the understanding now that we are not this body. Before we came to Krishna consciousness, what was our understanding? Before we came to ISKCON, before we came to Krishna consciousness, did we have any realization, did we have any understanding that we are not this body? We used to think we are this body. So at least by coming in contact with ISKCON, we have understood that we are not this body. Now we have to theoretically, we have to practically understand it. And it's a big, very big and difficult job. It's a very difficult job actually. But if we practice the process, then someday we'll become free from our material bondage, or we'll become free from the bondage of this body. And we'll become situated in our spiritual identity. And when you become situated in the spiritual identity, then you automatically become blissful. become very blissful. Even though we may be in the material nature, it will be blissful and we won't be affected by anything. Nowadays, how we feel? So when you come back from Sankirtan and come to the temple and see that there is no prasadam, how do you feel? How many of you experienced that? Came back from Sankirtan and there was no prasadam. And how did you feel at that time? So this is how we actually get affected by this material nature. But if we become situated in a spiritual identity, then we won't be affected by these things. A Brahmin, that is the meaning of being Brahminical. A Brahmin will accept everything on this as the mercy of the Lord. Did you see in some devotees, or did you sometime felt after when you came back from your Sankirtan and there was no prasadam in the temple, did you feel okay? Krishna doesn't want me to eat tonight. Did you ever feel that way? How many of you felt that way? Or how many of you at least seen someone acting like that? How many of you felt you don't even go out in Sankirtan? So when you feel like that, what happens? You feel contentment. Like if we depend upon Krishna, then we automatically become very contented. Internally, within ourselves, we become very peaceful. We become very satisfied. So that is the meaning of Brahma Bhuta platform. What is the Brahma Bhuta platform? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kankshati. His Prasannatma. Prasannatma means he is peaceful, he is satisfied. Prasanna chetasaha. He is very satisfied. So, when you become situated in the Brahma Bhuta platform, you become satisfied and you do not become disturbed by anything that happens to us. And we learn to accept everything as Krishna's mercy. So please take up this mission with the right spirit and make very nice progress in your Krishna consciousness. And then everything will become blissful for you, and you will feel very happy due to your involvement in ISKCON. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Sri Gaur Purnima festival ki, Samaveto Bhaktavrinda ki, Gaur Premanande. Thank you.